The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The bodybuilding world will never be the same.
Get ready for MD Radio with your host, Sean Ray. We'll take you inside the world of health and fitness with a focus on bodybuilding. Now, here's your host, Sean Ray.
All right, welcome everybody back to another episode of MD Radio. It's Monday, February the 9th, and we are enjoying, as I speak, at 4 p.m. on the West Coast, 80 degrees, actually it's 81 degrees, and sunny. I'm sorry about that. My peeps back in Boston, where I believe they got like 500,000 feet of snow over the weekend, with another 500 million to come. The Eastern Seaboard doesn't look good in the way of weather, but out here we are basking in the afterglow of the 2015 Fit Expo, where it seemed like everybody kind of came up for a breath of fresh air, man. I ran into 45-year-old former Mr. Olympia in 2008, Masters Mr. Olympia in 2012, four-time Arnold Classic champion Dexter the Blade Jackson, who showed up only for moments. I think he did a seminar for a few minutes, and he went right back to the gym. I caught him on the way out, asked him what he was in such a hurry for, and he said he's trying to make history for victory number 5 at the Arnold Classic. If he should do so in 4 short weeks in Columbus, Ohio, he'll stand alone as the greatest Arnold Classic champion the world has ever known, because right now he's presently tied with Fabulous Flex Wheeler with 4 victories under his belt. And 45 years young, he'll be going for title number 5. It's not going to be an easy task. He's got some young guys gunning for him, but experience is what he believes is going to take him over the edge. And, of course, it's got to be a combination of the Blade's condition, which he's known for, and, of course, those arms, shoulders, traps. I don't think they've ever been bigger in his life. I stand right next to the guy and claim to be 5'7". I got him pegged for 5'6", and he looked every bit of 250 pounds right now. And if any indications of his arms hanging off the sides of his neck reflect the rest of his body, Dexter the Blade means business. He's seriously gunning for it. I think he told me, he was like, this is number 15. Like, this is his 15th Arnold Classic. I said, how many Olympias did you do? Because I know I did 13. He did 15 Mr. Olympias. I mean, Dexter's truly right now on a tear. And if he brings the conditioning and is very competitive, he's very interesting. But this episode, so, is it where are they now? We're going to go back and find a few guys that haven't strayed too far from bodybuilding, but made their way in bodybuilding. We haven't heard from some of the guys. We're going to bring them out and dust them off and hear what's going on in their lives. That being said, I ran into a lot of very interesting people here at the show. There's a rumor that Flex Wheeler had like got into some type of cardiac arrest during a Bible study, when in fact he was on a flight from Kuwait at the time. The post was made on another bodybuilding forum, and I had just gotten done going back and forth with Flex, and I interviewed him when we were there at the expo, and he's in very good health, very good spirits. He's representing the Gorilla Wear clothing line, and he was just as much taken back about the rumor that he had died or had a cardiac arrest as, you know, he's supposedly dead a few times already, so it's just another way to kick the year off. He said, as long as people are talking about him, that's all that really matters. So with that, I also had the opportunity to run into the greatest, Ronnie Coleman. Without his crutches, you know, at the Olympia, he showed up on stage at the 50th anniversary this past September with the assistance of, like, some walker-type crutches, but he'd had double hip replacements. Went on to allude in the interview on MuscularDevelopment.com that he's had 8 surgeries and has a couple more scheduled. I think he said he had 3 neck surgeries, a couple back surgeries, the hip replacement surgery, you know, torn a few things. And pretty much what made the big nasty was his undoing at the end of his career, all that beating up his body. And I said, well, before we wrap this interview up, Ronnie, is it safe to say that we've seen the last of you on a stage? He said, I would never count me out. So
sounds like Muhammad Ali. But I'm talking about Muhammad Ali right now. Muhammad would probably say, don't count me out right now. That's Ronnie's attitude. I mean, he's a diehard bodybuilder. Instead, he was back squatting. I mean, if I had double hip replacement, the last place you're going to find me is under a squat rack. You might find me on a golf course or, you know, maybe standing around a pool table or in a swimming pool, but you're not going to catch me ever squatting again. But Ronnie Coleman will not be denied at the advanced age of 50-plus with a one-year-old at home, and it looks like he's staying busy. He's got 8 standout trophies to go with his 8 children. Ronnie Coleman living the life. As well, I ran into Jay Cutler, a cut above, looking very fit and healthy, sporting the 5 o'clock shadow and a full-face beard. I'm not sure if he's trying to grow that thing out, but he looked healthy and happy. He was representing his clothing line there, working with his good buddy Dave Borlet, doing his yeah. Jay, is it safe to say that you might be done for good? And if you are done for good, do you want to go on record? He told me to talk to him at the Arnold Classic. So another 4 weeks, we'll find out if we can get Jay to see what's going on in his life and times. But he did allude to the fact that he's adding another Jay Cutler Classic somewhere in America. I believe he's got 5 or 6 already, spanning from Wyoming to Maryland, New England, Las Vegas. He's really spreading the brand of the Jay Cutler shows. And Dexter Jackson says he's got like 3 or 4 shows as well over in Tennessee and Jacksonville, Florida. So it's fashionable right now for the older guys to have their own competitions. You know, they got the Ronnie Coleman show, and Linda Murray's got her competition. Of course, the Sean Ray Classic takes place August the 15th in Towson, Maryland. As well, I ran into Johnny O. Jackson representing the Mutant supplement line, and he was giving some information about the proper way to deadlift. And I asked him, is he still throwing around the same kind of weight after I talked to Ben, the showstopper, who is not afraid to challenge him to another powerlifting deal? And Johnny Jackson said, listen, the showstopper needs to just keep his mouth shut. He wants anything to do with me as it relates to powerlifting. He knows where to find me. And Ben did pay him respect and said that Johnny Jackson is the world's strongest bodybuilder. But they also both want to put their money where their mouth is. They're willing to challenge anybody besides each other that has an IFBB Pro card to find out who is the strongest bodybuilder on the planet. So even Johnny Jackson, advanced age of like 42, and Ben White are still talking smack and challenging anybody out there that wants to challenge them to a strongman competition. Look them both up there at the show. I ran into Sean Roden. Sean Roden's got to be one of the more laid-back, quiet, and reserved bodybuilders on the planet. It's very tough to read whether he's excited or not, but he did seem to be excited at the fact he does not have to compete before the Mr. Olympia in September, and that the playing field for him is now level, because Phil Heath and Kai Greene both typically take a full year to compete. And Sean Roden is like the new Dexter Jackson. This guy competes in every competition out there. I think last year he might have did 8 shows. Well, now he says he's going to wait. He's going to take his time. He's going to wait. He's only going to peak for the Olympia. And that may be a very interesting opportunity for Sean Roden, if he works on his weaknesses, to close the gap between himself, Kai, and Phil, assuming that maybe Dexter wins number 5 and decides to retire at the Arnold Classic this October, or this March. But he did tell me that if he wins in Columbus, Ohio, why retire? And you got to think, if he does win at 45 years old at the Arnold Classic, why retire? This is all he knows. This is what he's the best at. And age should not dictate an athlete retires. I know that Vince Taylor was competing into his 50s. Albert Beckles, I believe, was hitting the stage in his 60s. And doing well, doing very well. I think Albert Beckles in 1985 was like second in the Mr. Olympia at like 46 years old. And Dexter Jackson's the new Albert Beckles. Who else did I run? I ran into some girls. I ran into the very first ever Ms. Olympia bikini champion, Sonia Gonzalez. And Sonia just very quietly popped out a kid and now has another one that's already 6 months in the oven. And she looks like she's probably gained 5 pounds. She looks phenomenal. And she's got that little pregnant glow about her. She looks great. She's done with competition. Moved on to the next phase of her life. She has a gym out in Temecula. marriage. He's very comfortable and very happy. And she was hanging out at the GNC booth with 8-time Ms. Olympia, Fitness Olympia, Adela Garcia, who in retirement is going to be performing at the Jay Cutler Classic April the 4th in Las Vegas. She's got like one of those aerial acts that she's been working on. So she may have put the stage competition, but she's still a performer. That's what she does. She wants to perform. So if you're in Vegas April the 4th of this year, make sure you visit Jay Cutler's show. It's at the Palms Hotel and Casino. Adela Garcia is bringing her Vegas act to the fans to show, you know, that retirement is not a death sentence. It may just be a segue into the next phase of life. One guy that I didn't see there this past weekend was Dennis the Big Bad Wolf. He texted me and told me that he was very sick. He was getting over, like, you know, some bronchial stuff. And, you know, it caught up to him after the holidays. And most people I talk to, you know, got sick before the new year. Dennis happened to wait a little longer, got sick. And a guy like that gets sick, you don't want him hacking and coughing all over the place at 300-plus pounds. So he's at home resting up, focusing on the new year, and we'll see what happens. I was running around the expo with the new promoter of the Vancouver Pro Championships, Michelle Crack, IFBB Pro Physique promoter, competitor and promoter, and she was drumming up some sponsorship. And everybody we talked to was really excited about a potential visit to Vancouver in July. It happens to fall on the same weekend as the USA Championships, but this is an open men's pro bodybuilding show, a 212-pound competition, pro physique, pro bikini, doing it big at the convention center right there in Vancouver. And it was really cool to see people respond to a first-time promoter. So I was trying to help her out. As we knocked out some of the MD interviews, one of the other guys that we did talk to, we talked to Richard Pena, who's doing big things with his supplement company called 5%. And he's not just promoting a supplement line. He is promoting a movement in the way that he feels, I guess it's like there's 95% people out there that work hard, but there's only 5% of the people that will go out and give you everything. Well, he's trying to appeal to those people that will just go the extra 9 yards. You know, there's people that they'll do the race and they'll finish it and they'll run the Boston Marathon just to say they ran the Boston Marathon or qualified for the national so that they can say they stood on the national stage. Then you have that 5% that go to win the Boston Marathon, that go to the nationals to win the nationals, that go to the Olympia to become Mr. Olympia. There's very few people out there, and Richard Pena gets that with his theology and is passing that on to the new guys coming on to 5%. And one of the guys that knows a thing or two about giving that extra 5%, calling in now. I'm wondering whether or not he's buried underneath 20 feet of snow. I've done nothing more than go out and become arguably the best 212-pound bodybuilder on the planet. While he was competing, went out there and won a New York Pro 3 or 4 times, won the Olympia Showdown. I have some of the biggest arms in the industry. Let's welcome to MD Radio, big Kevin English. Kevin, welcome back to MD Radio. Are you there, Kev?
I'm here, Mitch. What's up, baby? How's it going?
All right, man. We got a little delay. Are you under a bunch of snow right now, or is that a little bit south of you or north of you?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I said, are you buried under a bunch of snow out there in New York?
It's not too bad, man. It's not too bad. It's just snowing.
It's
we
not,
have a lot of ice.
You say it's not too bad. Is there snow on the ground where you're at? When you say that it's not too bad, is there actual snow on the ground where you're at in New York?
Oh yeah, I would say so. We have, like in my backyard, I probably have a good couple of feet still.
I'm sitting in the parking lot at my daughter's gymnastics event, and I got the sunroof open, and I'm sweating in my car.
I know, I'm jealous, man.
The sun is out, and I'm sweating in my car, man. Listen, it's been a hot minute since we talked to you last. Bring everybody up to speed. What's going on with Kevin English, man? One minute you were competing every time you turn around, and we haven't heard a whole lot. So tell us what's been going on in the life and times of Kevin English.
Okay, well, basically the next show, I was planning on making my comeback last year at the Olympia.
Right.
And a few weeks prior to the show, I ended up getting really sick. And I was trying to bounce back. You know, my conditioning was there, but I had lost a lot of weight. And I was trying to put the weight back on, and it wasn't coming on that fast, and I wasn't as full as I wanted to be. So I ended up backing out of the Olympia. And
right.
From that point, from September, primarily just been training my ass off and just focusing on business and other business ventures. And I will be competing this year at the Olympia, which I'm really excited about, and that's my main focus for right now.
Okay, we can't gloss over that. Repeat that last line that you just now said.
That I'm training for the Olympia right now as we speak. You know, so I'm really focused and how things are going.
I just wanted to make sure that wasn't a mistake. So Kevin English will be training right now to compete in this upcoming Mr. Olympia competition. So will you get on stage prior to the Olympia? Will you do anything before then? Because I don't believe you have to qualify that you've won it before, correct?
That's correct. I won't be doing any other show, only because my main objective is just to win that Olympia title. You know, for me personally, the three biggest shows for my division, I believe, is the Olympia, the Arnold, and the New York Pro. And even though I haven't competed in the Arnold, I won the New York Pro already 4 times. And the only reason why I'm not doing the Arnold is because I feel if I die back down again, I don't know if I'm going to be able to put the size necessarily to get back. I don't know if I'm going to be able to put that size back on for September.
Right.
So I'd rather just focus on, you know, putting on as much size as possible, you know, shaping my body. I want to bring something new to the stage, you know, so I'm just working on different areas of just revamping my look. So
well,
at the same time, bringing a lot of mastin.
It's not going to be easy. I mean, you're going to be running right into the Welshman, James Flex Lewis, who I believe now has won the Olympia Showdown. I believe he's got 3 titles to his credit, correct?
I believe so.
I think he's got 3. So what do you got to do to beat that guy? Because I was talking about the 5% of the guys willing to do more than anybody else out there, and there's very few people. What do you got to deliver to take that title from him in head-to-head competition? What do you have to change within your body, your diet, your framework to get that title? Because I know you're not going to Las Vegas just to be on that stage.
Right. Absolutely right. For me, I had to really look deep within myself and get that hunger back. You know, for me personally, like being on top for a long time, you always think you're going to be there, and you have a tendency to take things for granted. You know, you have a tendency to slack with your training, slack with your eating, you know, because you just think, you know what, no matter what, I'll be able to get my body right back there. And that's not always the case. So for me, you know, it took, you know, all of this for me to really get that hunger back. And now I'm more focused than ever. I'm training harder than I've ever trained in my life. I have really good people around me, you know. And I definitely train, you know, I mix things up a lot as far as my training. I'm doing a lot more volume training, adding a lot more shaping exercises in my movements, and, you know, just willing to learn, you know, different aspects of training.
Do you work with a trainer or a nutritionist or anybody in particular? Or?
No, actually, I don't have this time, but I do have a few training partners. One is Nick Medici. Another one is Juan Diesel Morel. And he has his own style of training, which we discussed, and I've been working out with him a lot. So it's definitely helped, you know, revamp my look, my physique, which I'm really happy about.
Well, beyond probably going and watching the New York Pro, will we see you at any of the other shows before the Olympia? Like, will the fans be able to see you anywhere, or are you just going to stay on the mountain until the Olympia?
You know, I'm not exactly sure which shows I'll be at this moment, but you'll definitely see me around. You know, I'll definitely be at the New York Pro, and I'll definitely be at a ton of amateur shows, and I'm sure I'll be at a few other pro shows as well.
All right, man. Well, that's awesome news to hear that you're going to be back on stage in 2015. So we're going to look for you. Hopefully we'll catch up with you before the competition and get you back on the show to see how the progress comes. What are you weighing today?
Right now, I'm a little bit below 260. Somewhere around like 255, 257.
All right, then. You're right there where you need to be, man. Do your thing, Kevin. Thanks for calling in, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Okay, thanks a lot for having me.
All right, man. That's big Kevin English going for the comeback and the knockout. He's calling out James Flex Lewis. So when Kevin English gets ready for a show, man, it's like do or die. I mean, the guy got sick and had to pull out of the competition, and that's happened. He's not alone. A lot of bodybuilders, they push themselves to the very edge, and sometimes you fall over it, and the body sometimes doesn't respond right. It's better to shut things down,
sit on the sidelines and watch, and then you get things in perspective. And this guy was, you know, ready to do battle. I know he was putting up some pitches prior to getting sick before the Olympia, and it's got to be tough to watch something that you feel you can go in and be competitive. Not only that, but you can, you know, go in and win. And Kevin English now is realizing he's missing that stage. He's missing that limelight. He's missing that challenge. And every bodybuilder, I don't care who you are, needs that challenge to bring out the best in them. And once you've got a taste of victory, that's something you long for until you get totally complacent and relaxed with what you've done, like I've done in retirement, where you don't feel the need to prove anything out. So we'll look for big things for Kevin English when he does decide to make it back on the stage, and we'll find out who else is going to get there. Right now, the next 212 competition is coming up in at the Arnold Classic. I just got done talking with Stan McQuay over the weekend. He was there at the LA FedEx. Danny Hester was at the LA FedEx. These are two guys that are in that 212 division. Danny Hester has yet to compete, but he's looking forward to it. He says sometime this summer. Dan McQuay sounded like he was going to maybe do one more show and call it a day. He's at the end in terms of having to prove something. I know he's got a couple of kids, and I believe Danny Hester's, you know, he's trained his entire life to get that pro card, and now that he's finally got it, cannot wait to get on that stage. So that'll be interesting to see those two guys back on stage. Also, one other guy I saw over the weekend, before I get there, I talked to Nicole Wilkins. Nicole Wilkins is a four-time pro Ms. Olympia figure champion. And that's always kind of been a blur for me when it comes to figure, because I'm always caught up with the men. But some people were saying she was kind of rough. And I got to tell you, I stood inches away from her interviewing her at the LA Fit Expo. And Nicole Wilkins is beautiful. She's got pretty skin, beautiful eyes, nice skin texture. Whoever said she was rough is way off base. I mean, this physique stuff and her training is paying off in dividends for her. She looks phenomenal, and I got to tell you, she's going to be a tough one to beat when she gets back on that Olympia stage, but she looks a lot better in person. I mean, I don't know what you guys are talking about on the muscular development forums, but she looks really good. Another person that I got a chance to check out when I was there, was very interesting. I was talking to, who is this guy? Brad Rowe. Brad Rowe, it's fun talking to relatively new pros because their eyes and their nose are so wide open for competition. Brad Rowe was just so happy with the way he finished off last year. I believe he was second at the Ferrigno Legacy Championships. But he was like, man, I'm going to compete until I get to the Olympia. If I got to rack up as many points, I think he's already counting the points. He's going to get to that Olympia one way or the other, and it's going to start this summer. He was really excited. I love to hear the new pros talk because a lot of guys get to that place of where it's just business, and Brad Rowe is not at that point. Brad Rowe is like, I want to get in. I want to be noticed. I got to get recognized, and I want to compete. And that's a nice, ambitious spirit to hear that coming from a guy who has not become jaded by the sport. One news flash over the weekend, former Mr. USA and IFBB Pro Bikini competitor Amanda Latona and Steve Kuklo of Texas have tied the knot. They have now joined the matrimony marital bliss over the weekend. I think it was over this weekend they got married, but they are now one. And they both seem very content and happy with each other and have been pretty much glowing since, I believe, the Olympia weekend. Or somewhere just around that time. So congratulations to both Steve and Amanda on tying the knot. They're now the new superpower couple. Remember the other couple, Kelly Ryan and Craig Titus? We don't want to make that comparison. But then you had Lee Kreest and I think Kathy LeFrancois. Who else was out there doing the business as a married couple? There's several married couples in this industry, but the latest and the newest is now Amanda Latona and Steve Kuklo. Congratulations to both of them. Noticeably absent over the weekend, we didn't see the Incredible Hulk at the Fit Expo. But what I did talk to was the promoter of the LA Fit Expo, and that was Mark Mazurek. And this LA Fit Expo looked every bit of Arnold Classic Expo like. And by that I mean we're at the LA Convention Center, and I believe it's been 12 years now, and we've watched this thing grow and grow. And it was
Everyone was out. It actually rained on Saturday. On Sunday, people were complaining about the summer-like weather and having to be indoors because it was hot, just like it is right now. But couldn't fit another booth into that expo. I saw Jillian Michaels giving her speeches. I walked up on Tito Ortiz, who had his Team Punishment clothing line there. A lot going on that week, and C.T. Fletcher was there. It's funny, because a little incident. Lewis was doing the videos for MDTV, and I was doing the interviews, and we walked up to the Isatori booth, and C.T. Fletcher had asked me to come back, talked to him the previous day on Saturday, said come back and do an interview. I guess he wanted to promote the supplement company he was working for, and he's an OG, so he knows me from way back in the day. So I show up, and of course Lewis was first on the scene, kind of working our way up to the front of the line, and just as we got there with the camera, one of the guys at the Isatori booth kind of turns to me and Lewis at the same time and goes, oh, like we were TMZ type reporters walking up with a camera to ambush these guys. Oh, no, we can't do this right now. These people have been waiting 3 hours. And it was a decent sized line. 3 hours, man, we can't do this right now. So I politely said, okay, well, when do you want us to come back? Because, that's what MD does. We walk up on booths and we talk to the talent so they can promote the company, promote the product, talk about what's new, what they've got going on. These sponsors pay these guys money to come and sit at their booth and sign autographs and promote their products. The media then takes it worldwide, and that's what multimedia is. That's what Muscular Development gives these guys, a platform to talk about their brands, to talk about the people they work with, to talk about what's coming up, what's the latest, whatever. So CT got that on Saturday, told me to come back Sunday, and we show up and some dude with his shirt on just like, No, you guys are like, we don't need paparazzi. Get out of here. And Lewis was so pissed. He was like, oh, we're never coming back. Those guys just blew us off. And doesn't he know who you are? The guy knew who I was. As we're walking away, CT says, hey, Sean Ray, the legend, come here. I said, hey, man, that told us to come back in 30 minutes. Of course, we didn't make it back, and I doubt we'll ever go back. But Muscular Development provides a lot of companies with a platform for promotion. We're not selling Isatori. We're not selling Gaspari. We're not selling Ronnie Coleman's Signature Series. We're giving them a platform to talk to their fans. And that's why we were there. So if the fans had to stand there and watch, C.T. Fletcher promote the products to a multimedia outlet that goes on Twitter and Facebook and, on the bodybuilding forum, and it gets those hyperlinks get shared all over the world, and it instantaneously, you've got your spokesperson, C.T. Fletcher, promoting this Isatori product. That's priceless. You can't put a price tag on that. Lewis was like pretty bent, so he ran to Facebook and posted the incident, more from the standpoint that they disrespected Sean Ray and also the brand that's Muscular Development. But I can give a rat's ass about it. There's people out there that beg us to come to their booth, and the athletes usually part the Red Sea so that we can get in there front and center, because we are their media. We are the ones that help make them and give them credibility to promote their products. That's what the companies want. They want their products promoted. We provide that platform. Isatori missed the boat, and Luis has vowed never to give them any publicity again. We'll see if they got a response to that. It wasn't that busy that week. It was on Sunday, by the way. But it was all good. I think sometimes people get a kick out of somebody saying no, and I've been told no a million times by more important people and bigger companies than that, and I survived. So we turn the page and keep it moving, man. We're going to come back on the other side of our first commercial break here at MD Radio with one of the bodybuilders that was just like a bulldog. It was like a pit bull, like Boston Strangler. There's a lot of adjectives that, used to describe my next guest coming up on the other side of the break. But one of them is he's a former Mr. USA, and he was a former Olympia competitor, and a guy that actually took me out in my rookie year at the Mr. Olympia. The mighty Mike Quinn coming up here at MD Radio right after this first commercial break.
This is Marcus Haley of The Comet, and you're listening to MD Radio with Sugar Sean Ray.
Focus, strength, recovery, results. Introducing Maximize, brought to you by iForce Nutrition. Tired of the same old caffeine buzz? Are you ready to step into a new world of power, energy, and intensity? Maximize has set a new standard in the supplement world, delivering tunnel vision focus, cell-swelling volumization, and unstoppable endurance. Don't settle for the current crop of underclothes products. It's time to join the next generation with Maximize, the only pre-workout supplement you need for extreme gains in strength and performance. Don't just train. Maximize your workouts. Visit www.iforcenutrition.com for details.
Over the years, iForce Nutrition has brought you some of the most powerful muscle-building products ever seen in the bodybuilding world. Now, after years of research and development, we are proud to introduce our first launch into the world of thermogenic fat loss with Adipoxil. Adipoxil isn't your run-of-the-mill fat burner. Adipoxil is new and rewriting the definition of fat loss. Adipoxil's competition strength formula is so powerful, in one cycle, you can go from soft to shredded. When being lean isn't enough, get shredded with Adipoxil. For more information, visit iForceNutrition.com.
With over 300 locations and 2 million members worldwide, Powerhouse Gym has been helping people achieve their goals since 1975. Whether you're visiting the gym for the first time or you're a seasoned professional, you'll see why Powerhouse Gym is the strongest name in fitness. Visit PowerhouseGym.com to get a free guest pass to a location closest to you or to inquire about opening your own Powerhouse Gym location. At Powerhouse Gym, you're not just a number, you're family.
But one of the guys that gives a lot of credit is Steve Blackman for muscular development. I mean, those guys have done an extraordinary job for years and years and years to promote health, to promote fitness, to promote strength, to promote bodybuilding, powerlifting, weightlifting, and all of those kind of things. So the contributions they made is gigantic, and I hail them for that.
Arginine and AAKG are dead.
The nitric oxide war is over. MHP introduces NO-Bomb, the world's first clinically tested nitric oxide maximizing formula. Need to experience real workouts and pumps with NO-Bomb.
Run! Who are you? Business as usual, man! I saw you! I saw you! Run!
For the best workout of your life, use Nox Pump, the strongest pre-workout powder in bodybuilding. Get Nox Pump at health food stores everywhere.
Shop the new MD Supplement Superstore, where you can find more of your favorite brands and products, upgraded customer service, and engaging cutting-edge research, along with the industry's most competitive prices.
This is IFBB Pro Mike Valentino. You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray. If you want to get in on the action, call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
I'm the truth and these other boys phony.
All right, we are talking bodybuilding, and where are they now? We just got done talking with former Olympia Showdown champion from New York, Kevin English. We're going to switch it down south to big, mighty Mike Quinn. I remember seeing this guy in 1984, I believe it was, in Pasadena. I think that's where he won the USA Championships. Was it AAU Championships? Let's bring him on. Big Mike, are you there?
Hey, Sean, how are you, brother?
Man, getting older by the second. I pride myself.
How are you girls?
Huh?
How are you girls?
Well, my girls are growing up fast, man, but I used to pride myself on my memory, and now it kind of slips away. I was thinking about the first time I saw you, and it was in Pasadena. I don't think it was an NPC.
Yeah, it probably was. 1984, I went to Mr. America, and I got smoked. I got beaten. I should have won. I took third.
That's it. Okay, that was
and then I went over. Then I went over and won the Nava Universe 3 weeks later.
Was that Joe Mico that won in Pasadena at that show?
Yes, he won, and I went over in Europe and smoked him. Should have beat him there. But
yeah,
it's okay. And then my life's been great. By the way, Joe passed away.
Yeah, I know. Tragically, it's like...
What a shame. I don't know what's going on. A lot of people are dying, huh?
Well, it sucks because the older we get, the more we're going to funerals instead of birthdays, it seems.
But yeah, I know.
Joe Mico was a solid guy. What did you do after that? Okay, so you went there and you won the universe, and then what did you do?
Well, I came home. Don't forget, I won the same Mr. Universe at Arnold and every other Mr. Universe ever been. I came home, tried to turn pro, and of course, my best friend in the world, Wayne D'Amelio, wouldn't let me do. Made me start all over again. In 86, I had to go into Mr. Florida, and the competitors there wanted to, really, it was a bad time because they were like, what are you doing here? Well, I got to requalify, and I did that in 86, and then I trained for a whole year, moved to California, end of 86, and trained for the USA, which I won in August of 87.
That's right. You won the USA's in August of 87, which was the same year I won the Nationals in October
of 87. Yeah, I was there. I seen you win, dude. You looked awesome, can you?
Yep. And then, so your first Olympia, then, was 1988.
Yeah.
Which that was the same time that I was coming in. Yeah, so how did that go for you? Because it seemed like, at that time, the field, it seemed like, was wide open. And it was almost a Hall of Fame lineup of bodybuilders in 1988. But tell me about your journey to that 88 Olympia.
Well, you know, I got so upset because in the magazines, they weren't even putting me in the top 10 to even place.
Right.
So that got me very upset and got me extremely motivated. And I took my body way, way down. I weighed in at 204 pounds and got on stage at about 209. And made my package look, you know, a lot bigger than I ever was. So it was a smart thing for me to do.
Was it painful to do? Because that's a lot of weight to come down, but you already did your best.
Dude, Sean, I suffered to every show. I had to do low carbs. You know, I was, you know, plus I was kind of crazy. I mean, I've been doing that, but it didn't help.
Low
carbs did not help me with my personality, that was for sure.
Well, I used to see you in the gym. I mean, when I walked into Gold's Gym, because that's when I moved down to Marina Del Rey, and I think you were living out there at that time. Were you not living out there at that time?
I lived there from 87 to 91.
So when we went into Gold's Gym, I mean, it was very customary to see you training with Rick Valente and Robbie Robinson and see Mike Christian over here and Tom Platz over there. And, I mean, the who's who of bodybuilding was in that gym, including Barry DeMay and Lee Labrada.
It was, I think it was the greatest time of bodybuilding ever. You'll never see that camaraderie again. You'll never see those kind of friendships again. It is so different now, and I don't even like it anymore, to be honest with you.
But going back, when you think about it, that had to be very far from your dream when you won, like, the USA, and then you're training in Gold's Gym with all the people that were making up the industry. Every single day you saw your competition. I mean, was it a motivational experience for you to go to gym every day?
Oh, yeah. It was a dream come true. You know, Robbie was my idol growing up, so here I am at 17. I get to be 26, and now he's my trainer partner. I mean, you know, that's a dream come true for me. I was, you know, to this day, I'm just so happy about that. But, you know, I never seen anybody train harder than me in the gym.
No.
I never did.
You threw around some incredible poundage, and when it came down, especially to back and arms, you and Robbie were just freaks in the gym. That being said, this was also a time where we had to train in and around professional football players, Hollywood actors.
God, everybody was in there. Scottie Pippen was training in there at the time. I mean, come on. You know, Gregory Hines, brother of the soul, was such a good friend of me, came to all my shows. You know, Rick Valente helped me tremendously with getting my music done and posing. I had, it was thrilling for me.
Yeah. So how did it end, Mike?
It was the best time of my life.
Absolutely. That was a gem of a time. I was glad to catch a portion of that. But then we had Vince McMahon came into the scene after 1990, and he threw around some money to some guys. You made the transition and went over to the WWF. Give us the brief synopsis of those two.
Listen, I'm the one that put it together with him. I'm the one that got the guys to sign. He asked me first. I turned into Jim in Boca, and he had a mansion here in Boca. He asked me about, Mike, what do you think about doing a federation? I said, you know, you got to pay the guys. I don't care what you do. You need to pay us. And he did.
Yeah.
You know, but he drug tested us and ruined it.
What was the concept? Because it seemed like it was more of a show and not a contest.
Yeah. You know, it was okay. I'm an entertainer and I enjoy that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, I never came, I wasn't in top shape in the WBF because they were, you know, little I know. I don't even think they drug tested Gary. I mean, he looks so amazing. How is he drug tested?
Yeah, yeah,
but,
I don't
know.
I
got drug tested, Sean. They would call me 7:30 in the morning, and it would be nearly a 45-minute ride to where they would have to drug test me. And if I didn't get there on time, I was fired.
That's crazy.
So he really messed with me quite a bit. Because he's a control freak. You know, I'm not the kind of guy you can really control. If you try to control me, I'll do the exact opposite. You know, I mean, it's my life. I take the drugs. I put myself through hell. I train dogs. You know, nobody's going to tell me how to live my life.
Well, when did it become not fun? Once you got with the WBF?
Yeah, it was over. I mean, my sister Kathleen died. She committed suicide in 89. Sean, I did it for the money. He gave me $375,000 for 2 years. I went, I bought into one gym, sold that, doubled my money, and then I went down to Boca Raton and built a really nice gym.
Right.
Which, you know, which I lost to John Gotti at $250,000 went into my business. So I lost $1 million in one signature.
Do you think that it was a good, was it a blessing or a curse to have Vince McMahon come along and offer that opportunity? Was it a bad thing?
Yeah, I think it was a bad thing because he didn't stick to it. You know, he screwed up a lot of guys' careers for a while. I mean, they took me right back. They didn't charge me any money. But, you know, other guys had to pay to come back. And, yeah, I think he screwed things up a lot for that time. I do.
Moving forward, I mean, because you only had 13 athletes. And, of course, we lost one. We lost Vince Comerford, right? I mean, it's... You had Tony Pearson and Barry DeMay and Jimmy Quinn and yourself and who else was out there? You had Eddie Robinson was up in the mix and, of course, Gary Stridham and...
Danny Padilla,
of course. And it changed... Troy Zuccolato, it changed the lives of several athletes, but do you think it took away your motivation? Because, like, you needed the money, obviously, because that's what we were... That was definitely the best byproduct of training your ass off. But when you have the guaranteed money, did it take away the motivation?
Yeah, as you know, I was out of it for years. I didn't come back till 1994. You know, I competed in the Ironman, and Kevin won that, Lavrone. And I missed my peak and just got pissed. So I went home and said, you know what, this is it. I'm going to do what everybody else is doing, which I'm not going to talk about right now because it's not part of the show. But, you know, I did what everybody else was doing, and I showed up in the Mr. And I had champions weighing 252 pounds cut.
Yeah.
So that was, I always competed at 220, and this is really not something I talk about everything, Sean, but I don't know if it's if people want to really hear about the drugs I took, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people got out by the hair of their chinny-chin-chin because it was a time of experimentation and exploration. I mean, we know that there is an underbelly in sports, and there's a lot of OCD, and there's a lot of very addictive personalities, and I know that. I think you didn't you come from a drug abusive background before you became into bodybuilding?
Oh yeah, I was constantly self medicated. I have ADHD and I'm bipolar, but I don't take the bipolar medication; it's too strong.
Right,
but I do take two medications that keeps me focused and centered all the time, and I'm pretty calm now. You know, I really don't get upset unless you play around with my family and my girl. You know.
Well, yeah. I mean, you didn't take. You're like a freaking a maniac guy. When somebody pissed you off, you certainly didn't hold back. But now where you're at in life now, what's happening? I know you spent some time in Alabama. I don't think you ever went back to Boston, did you? You went to Florida.
No, but I will be going back. I'm signing a contract. They're making a movie about me. I signed a contract in 3 weeks.
Okay.
Cool. A made-for-TV movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're doing it because my father trained me as a kid and basically turned me into a champion. And where I'm from is Brockton, Massachusetts. It's home of Rocky Marciano and Marvin Hagler. And I'm in state legislature with the both of them. Brockton's called home of the champions. That was the biggest accolade I ever got, and that was in 97.
Yeah, right.
So things are so good right now. I have to pinch myself. I feel like I'm dreaming all the time, but who would ever know this would happen? All I wanted to do was publish my book. It was finished. Writer got a handle on it. He says, this isn't a book. This is a movie. I was like, really? So I'm pretty much in shock about it, you know?
Yeah, I see your sister on Facebook. She's all into working out, too. She's still competing, Kelly?
I want her to. I mean, this is her busy season. Man, she makes big money.
Yeah.
She works at Palm Beach Bass and Tennis Club. She literally trains millionaires and billionaires.
Yeah.
I mean, she only has to work. She has the whole summer off. She makes that much.
That's awesome, man. Well, Mike, I got another guy hanging on. I'm glad to catch up with you. Where can people get a hold of you if they're trying to find Mike Quinn for whatever reason? How
Listen,
do they find
you? You can email me at promightymikequinn@yahoo.com.
And you're on Facebook?
Oh, yeah. Mike Quinn, Lakewood, Florida.
Are we going to see you anywhere around the bodybuilding circuit? When you pop up, like the Nationals are in Florida in November. Are you going to come out to the Olympia or anything?
Yeah. I don't know. I may be coming to the Arnold, but I haven't decided yet because this movie thing, once I sign the contract, I'm going to be working 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I'm tired, but it's going to be great for me.
Keep us posted here at MD Radio, man. Good catching up with you, brother.
All right. Thank you, Sean, very much for the publicity. I appreciate it.
Right on. Mighty Quinn calling in from South Florida. This guy was a wrecking ball back in the day, man. Came on like a whirlwind. And I got to tell you, you had to be in the gym to witness how he took his training to another level. He took it like a fighter. I mean, he comes from a fighting background. And to watch him come in the gym, that game face that he puts on, you don't want to be anywhere near Mike when he's training unless you want to get, you know, steamrolled over. But we're going to change gears and move in to another big guy, from one big guy to a bigger guy. This guy was, you couldn't fit him in the gym door. I mean, you're looking at a guy that's like 6'3", 300 pounds, former USA champion as well, living out in Las Vegas. Let's bring him on, big QT, Quincy Taylor. Welcome to MD Radio.
What's up, Sean? How you doing?
Hey, man, not too bad. It's been a minute. I haven't seen you around the scene. I figured we'd find out what's going on in the life of times at QT. You came on hot and heavy. You won the USA Championship. You did a few shows. I remember one time we had a conversation because you were telling me at that time, you know, you outweighed some guy by about like 70 pounds, and the judges were like talking to each other, not really paying attention. And it seemed like you might have just kind of got fed up and frustrated and said, screw it, I'm done. I'm not sure if I got that accurate, but your departure from bodybuilding was very unceremonious. I didn't hear about you retiring. I didn't hear about you quitting. You just disappeared.
And I got tired of it, man. I snapped one day, and I saw it for what I thought it was.
Yeah.
You know, I just got to a point, for me, Sean, I've been lifting weights and working out since I was 12 years old.
Right.
It was my dream to become a competitive bodybuilder, but the days when I started working backstage and really getting involved in what happened and what went on backstage, it really just left a really foul taste in my mouth when I saw how the judging stuff went. And for me, it was like, okay, this is an eye-opener. And it really just made me feel as though all those years I'd spent competing, and doing all these shows and killing myself with that notion of if you work really hard, you're going to achieve your goals, was a bunch of bullshit. And so I just kind of walked away. And then I had an experience when I was in Germany. I tried to get several different organizations, including our organizations, to help me promote any type of tour or seminars, and nobody helped me. And it was one of the worst experiences I've ever had. But it was just more than that. I got to an age where, you know, I've been doing it for a long time. I've been competing. I've been 10 years as an amateur. I had a lot of injuries and I just got tired of it. I got tired of going to companies and begging them for money. I got sick of it. I got to the point where it's like, you know, I'm the one company I work for, and when I worked for MRM, the guy wouldn't give me my damn per diem check. He every time we went out, he would have me like on a leash so to the point where I have to go and ask this guy to feed me. And I just got to a point where it was like I got sick of begging people for money.
Right.
And,
right.
And by the time I was done, I saw a lot of things. I worked for one company, I never forget, the guy promised me to give me a raise.
Uh-huh.
I qualified for the Olympia. Oh, then came time for that. It was just so many characters in that bodybuilding world. And mind you, you know, Sean, I got a mouth on me and I can handle it. And I will get violent, but at a certain point, it can be, destructive to yourself. So
right. Well,
take a step back.
Is this a personal experience or is there a running theme? Were there other athletes as frustrated running into similar situations with companies or more just a personal thing that you were dealing with people that were just giving you the runaround?
No, it was just the way the sport is. Come on, Sean, I was backstage. I remember one time I had other guys telling me the same thing. They were going through the same thing with certain companies. But one time I remember being backstage at Olympia, and I forgot. Haley.
Marcus?
I forgot. Huh? Say it again.
Marcus Haley?
Marcus was from Vegas. Marcus was backstage at Olympia. And Marcus was pissed because he wasn't getting looked at. He really was not getting looked at the Olympia. And it was just like, I had been there, but I was like my third time there, so I knew what time it was. It's like, it doesn't matter how good you look.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how good you look. Looking good is not going to make you win. Just because you're the best one, that don't mean you're going to win.
Right.
You know, just because you're there don't mean you're going to win. So I'm standing up there, and I'm like, he's backstage falling at the mouth. He's going to get stuff kicked out. I had to grab him. You know, and I'm bigger than him. Basically, pull him into a restroom and tell him, look, dude, stop that shit. Calm your ass down. Because if you don't, you're going to throw this whole thing away. You're going to come back. And I had to do the same thing to George Farmer one time. We were backstage at the Night of Champions. George Farmer was losing. You know how George's temper was. I had to grab his ass and pull him back in the corner somewhere. And for some reason, I had enough sense to know not to do that in a public arena. And the way I felt about it was, the reason why I left is because I knew that if I stuck around and kept trying to go after it, eventually the things I was feeling and the way I saw how things were going was going to start coming out of my mouth.
Right.
Come on, man. I've been to shows where you see two cats come in, people on stage, and they didn't bust their butts. And these two guys, they get the word down. These two guys have got to qualify for the Olympics. They didn't look like they deserved to even be on stage, really. They look okay, but they're not better than these other two cats, and they pass them up because they need to make sure that they have all Americans at the Olympia.
So at some point, you decided enough is enough. I did what I had to do, and you turned the page. I mean, I also know you were doing some acting. What were you at? Be Cool and Planet of the Apes?
Oh, yeah, I was in Be Cool, Planet Apes. I did a small film called, what was it called? Damn it. I did a bunch of commercials, did those two big films.
Was that
more rewarding? That's not really a good way to make a living.
Did you find that more rewarding than actually, having to train and diet down and stand on stage and not get the call out?
If I was gay, yeah. I hate to say that, but that's my perception of it. If I would have been gay, I could have been a big star. Right. But there's a lot of things with producers and different people in that industry that I wasn't going to do. It wasn't going down like that for me, so I took another door.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The opportunities were definitely there.
Yeah.
I've been on movie sets, and the opportunities were definitely there, but that's not who I am.
Well, you were arguably the biggest bodybuilder of your era. I mean, we had big guys. We had Nasser. We had Gunther Schlierkamp. We had Jean-Pierre Fuchs. And you're right in there with those Marcus rules. Moving into the Hollywood side, was there a market or was that a limited opportunity, a very small window? Because we didn't really see a lot of big guys doing anything with Hollywood.
But there is a market in Hollywood for his bodybuilders, really big guys, there's always a market. But like I said, there's also a certain requirement that I didn't feel, and I'm not saying that's what everyone does. I'm not saying that's what everyone is. I can't say that, but my experience was this.
Yeah.
If you are this and you can feel that requirement that they're asking, you can go really far.
Well, have you found a way to reconcile, the good in it? I mean, was there any positive side to having to go through what you went through on that bodybuilding stage? I mean, you did get to the Olympia a few times. I mean, Was
Was the experience a memorable? Because it comes to Vegas every year. I mean, I'm wondering now in your retirement, is there any nostalgic places that the sport takes you that feel good?
It does leave, it left a bitter taste in my mouth. And it's one of those things as to where, you know, after 2 years, when I first stopped, after 2 years, I meditated. I had saved some money. I had several contracts. I had saved, so I was okay. But I, you know, that first year, I didn't know who the hell I was anymore.
Yeah.
I spent my first, you know, since the time I was 12 years old until I was 40, focused on one goal.
Well, how's life treating you now?
Quite frankly, I felt like I'd been robbed, and I'd fallen for a trap and fallen for like a dream of BS. That they sell all of us, saying we're all going to be champions. But
I think it's like that in everything, right? Hollywood, music, I mean, it's always a different animal once you peel back all the layers. But how's life now? I mean, are you okay with where you're at and how life's turned out for you?
Oh, yeah. It took me 2 years after I got done. When I stopped for 2 years, you know, I got off into deep meditation, and I really got off into looking at myself. I don't really blame anyone else. I actually look at my experience in bodybuilding as a blessing on some levels, because a couple of the projects out here in Las Vegas, I would have never got to go any places if it wasn't for the fact I was lifting weights. So I got to see the world. I met a lot of nice people, and people I'm still, the outside people I'm still in contact with to this day. So I can't look at it as totally negative. Nothing in life is totally negative. You know, I have to look at it as a positive thing. There were years when I had some of the most fantastic years of my life competing. I would never try to tell a younger person, oh, this is a bunch of bullshit. No, I can't do that, because that may not be their experience. That was my experience on some levels, but not, that don't mean it's going to be theirs.
Yeah, well, look, we got to come full circle. So now, if someone want to get a hold of you now, just for work or whatever, how do they reach Quincy Taylor?
My email, MyTQT, M-Y, M as in Mary, Y as in Yellow, T as in Tiger, E as in Eric, Q as in Quincy, T as in Taylor, @AOL.com.
All right, man. I got to wrap this Where Are They Now episode of MD Radio up with the mighty QT. What are you weighing now? Are you still around 300 pounds?
I'm still in the gym. I'm boxing every day. I box every day, so I'm about 305, 310.
All right, man. I'm going to look you up when I get out to Vegas next time, man. Thanks for calling in to MD Radio.
All right, Sean. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All right. That's the former Mr. USA champion, mighty Quincy Taylor. Going to do it for MD Radio here on our Where Are They Now episode. We're going to come back next week, our Valentine's Day MD Radio special, right here at MD Radio. Special thanks to Mike Quinn, Kevin English, and Quincy Taylor for Muscular Development Radio. I'm Sean Ray. Peace. I'm out.
You've been listening to MD Radio, a look at the world of bodybuilding and health and fitness. Join Sean Ray again next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel.